Hi, everybody. This is Gene Montarastelli, the editor of TappingQ&A.com, and welcome to the September Teaching Call. As a reminder, next week we're going to be doing a tapping request and question and answer call. So if you have questions about something tapping related or a topic that you'd like us to tap to, make sure you're on the call. If for some reason you can't make the call, please feel free to just shoot me an email, gene@tappingqa.com, and I will make sure that we get to your question or do a few rounds of tapping around your request. So you don't have to be on the call to get advantage of what we're going to be doing. Tonight, what I would like to do is I would like to talk about how we can get to the root cause of issues. One of the nice things about tapping is it gives us lots of entry points into dealing with issues, but sometimes we feel like we're just sitting on the surface, and when we're on the surface, we're able to create some space in the moment. We might even create a window where we're able to take some action for 5 or 10 or 15 or minutes or even a couple of hours. But when that happens, things can come back. And so what we want to do is we want to take a look at and see some of the things that we can do to more quickly get to the root cause of issues so that when you're tapping on your own, or if you're a practitioner and you're tapping with someone else, there are some really easy things that you can do in order to figure out if you have made your way to the root cause or not. As always, as we're doing the call tonight, if you have any questions, there's two ways that you can have your questions asked. If you have called in or Skyped in, all you need to do is press star 2 and you will show up on my dashboard that your hand is raised and I will take your question. If you're listening to us tonight over the web, all you need to do is look there to the left of the little player that's playing the audio right now and simply type in your question. I will be able to get that as well. As a reminder to all of those of you who are listening to the webcast and not on a phone, there is about a 12 to 15 second delay between what I'm doing in real time and when you're hearing this. So if you enter a question and it feels like I've missed you and I've gone on to the next thing, that's just because you're a little bit behind me and it hasn't caught up to me. I always go back and clean up all the questions that we've had for tonight. So even if it doesn't look like I'm responding right away to your question, I see it and I will certainly answer everything that is there. So in sitting down and thinking about how I help my clients get to root causes, what I came to realize was there were 5 specific things that I use regularly in my client sessions that help us find our way to root causes. And there was a little bonus piece that goes on to that. So on my notes I have here tonight, I have things listed 1 to 5, kind of from the smallest to the biggest piece. And the 4th and the 5th are the most complicated. And we'll go into full detail with those. But I also have a 0 on my page. And I have something here that I think is really important for us to recognize. Beginning tappers, when they're bumping into the instruction, we're always told, be more specific, find your way to the root cause, clear out the root cause. And when you clear out the root cause, then the issue is going to go away a lot faster. And because of that, it's possible to get really hung up in the fact that we have to find the root cause in order to be successful. Now, there's 2 kind of falsehoods that are contained inside of that. The first is we don't actually have to find the root cause to be successful. There have been many, many issues that I've worked on in my own life and many, many issues I've worked on in my clients' life where we have done work and we have cleared things out and we have never found a root cause and we've been able to be successful. The second is just because we have an issue doesn't mean that there's necessarily a root cause. And one of the things that really helped me kind of frame that and understand that was learning about when we have trauma, if we have that trauma in a safe environment or an unsafe environment, it's going to determine the way that it impacts us, and it's going to determine the way that we respond to it, and it's going to determine whether or not there is a quote-unquote root cause, or in regression terms, an initial sensitizing event. So let's just take a quick look here at the difference between experiencing something, a trauma, when we're feeling in a safe environment and feeling trauma when we're in an unsafe environment. So a safe environment. A safe environment is when, as you go through your day, you have a sense of safety and you feel like you're going to be okay. But there's still something traumatic that happens during that time. An example of that. I go camping. I'm out there with my friends and family, and one of my siblings takes a rubber snake and they throw it into my sleeping bag, and it terrifies me, and I scream and yell, and I'm now afraid of snakes. So in a circumstance like that, I am generally safe, and since I'm generally safe, the thing that is creating the sensitizing event is more like a blunt force bruise. It's something that's hitting me hard. It's this event. And in a circumstance like that, finding the root cause is something that's going to be much easier to do because one exists. The other example is if we grow up in a circumstance where we feel like we are unsafe, then it's going to be much harder for us to find our way to that root cause. An example, growing up with a parent who is alcoholic or bipolar. When you are at home, every single time the door opens, you are unaware of who is going to be coming through that door. Is it going to be happy, friendly, loving parent? Or is it going to be really, really annoyed, aggravated, drunk parent? And because of that, the child who grows up in that environment is growing up in a circumstance where they're constantly on edge and constantly worrying and constantly have their head on the swivel because something really, really dangerous could happen at any moment. And when that happens, we can see that this particular relationship might be impacting the way that we do it, but it's going to be a little bit different to approach than a quote-unquote really simple root cause. Another example that can happen to us when we're in a circumstance where something can do that is if the thing that is affecting us, impacting us, or traumatizing us is something that is cultural and in the air. Most people who have esteem issues about the way that they look don't have the moment when they were 13 years old and they went to the birthday party and everybody pointed at them and laughed. Now that can happen, and I've certainly worked with clients who have memories like that, where they describe that that's something that happened to them. But because of the way that we culturally approach appearance and what's acceptable and what's not, and what is beautiful and what's not, that slowly seeps into our experience. And so if we struggle with the way that we look or we struggle with our value because we're not meeting what we think are the media or cultural norms of what good and right is, then finding our way to a root cause is going to be something that's much, much harder. So when we're in a circumstance where we're in an unsafe environment and it's something that is persistent, or it's something that is cultural, that is constantly shaping the way that we see ourselves and the world, what I like to think of and describe is, it's kind of like taking the color blue out of plaid. You obviously can't see this, but I'm wearing a blue, white, red, and yellow plaid shirt. And so the colors weave themselves together. And if the blue was the trauma, it's not like I can go in there and just fix something. You know, the example we gave in the beginning of an initial sensitizing event, someone throwing a rubber snake in my sleeping bag, that's kind of like a rip or a tear in the fabric. It's easy to patch that or mend that or replace that part. But to take the color blue out of plaid is something that's much harder. That we're slowly taking the strands out, which is possible and doable. But because of that, there's not going to be this sense of having a root cause that we're going after. So when it comes to dealing with root causes and the best way to find it, point zero is just because we have a trauma doesn't necessarily mean that there is a root cause, and it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to find the root cause if there is one in order to find our way to healing and safety. And so if you're ever in a circumstance where you're feeling really frustrated about the fact that you can't find the root cause, the first thing that I would do, and this is point zero, is tap on the fact that there may not be a root cause, and I don't have to know what the root cause is in order to be successful. And so when we tap on something like that, it's just as simple as, I know from all my tapping training that when I'm able to find the root cause, it is possible for me to not have a root cause, even though I'm constantly looking for it, and I think it is the best way for me to heal, I give myself permission to know I don't need to know what the root cause is, or if there even is a root cause, in order for me to heal. I've actually had clients who have not gone through the healing process because they needed to know why the way they were before they could heal so they could prevent it again. And that's a really natural defense mechanism. If I don't know what the root cause is, how can I prevent the same problem from happening again? And so the way that we respond to that is, there is a part of me that is worried that if I'm not able to name the root cause, then I'm going to have the problem come back again. If I know what the root cause is, then I can prevent it. But I give myself permission to know it is possible for me to heal this and not know the root cause and know that it's possible for it not to come back again. And if it does come back again, I have the tools to deal with it and to respond to what is going on. So by recognizing the fact that there may not be a root cause, what it does is it creates some space to allow us to go in and do the tapping and healing work. Because if we are bent on finding a root cause, and we're not going to have success until we find that root cause, that is a great way for us to self-sabotage ourselves. So the first thing that I like to do when finding my way to a root cause is when we're going along and we're tapping and, you know, we might ask the issue, what proof do you have? Why is it here? What are you afraid of? What's the root of all of this? And no information comes forward. What I like to do is tap on something similar to what we just tapped on, but just reinforce it. So in the beginning, we would use that first part. Before we sit down to tap, we're trying to find the root cause. The first thing that we would tap on is, there might not be a root cause, and I'm okay not finding that root cause, which is going to open ourselves up and move us in. Now, we're tapping on something, and we're moving forward, and we're making progress, and we're trying to understand what's going on, and we might start to isolate the issue and get a sense of what's going on, and then all of a sudden, the information goes away. Or we can feel the system holding back information about a root cause or about what the next piece of information is to lead us forward. So what I like to do at that point is similar to what we did before, is to tap on the idea that I don't have to know the answer right now. And when I'm doing that, I tap something like this. There's a piece of information that I'm trying to find that will help me to understand the issue so that I can move forward in a healthful and successful way. And for some reason, that information isn't coming forward right now. And I want my system to know, I know it's holding this information from me because it thinks that is what is best for me. And I trust my system's wisdom. It is possible for me to have health and healing without knowing this information. And I want my system to know that whenever it decides to bring the information forward, I will be ready for it, and I will be able to use that information to continue my healing process. Now, if we tap on that, one of two things happens. The first thing that happens is we relax. We're not stressed and worried that there's this piece of information that's not coming forward that's slowing our healing process. I regularly have clients who are very, very frustrated by the fact that I've asked them a question and there's no information that comes back. That they feel overwhelmed, they feel like they're failing, they feel like that they're messing up the EFT and that the session's not going to work. So by doing a round of tapping on that, the first thing that we do is we put ourselves at ease to recognize that not having the information come forward is not a failure. By not having the information coming forward does not stop the healing process. The second thing it does, and this is kind of peculiar, is maybe 7 out of 8 times when we do this sort of tapping, immediately the system brings information forward. It's kind of like playing keep away with a 5-year-old. That a 5-year-old is really engaged in the game of keep away and is going to try super, super hard to keep whatever they have away from us until we stop showing interest. And the instant we stop showing interest, they just walk over and give us the thing that they've been trying to keep from us. Because they didn't really want the thing, they were just enjoying the game of keep away. For some reason, the information that the system has is very, very similar to that. And I don't know why that is. But the instant we tap on this idea of the information is going to come forward at a time that is good and helpful and serve me best, oftentimes when we give the system permission and space to give us the information when it's ready to, it becomes ready to instantly. That it's no longer this tug of war, and it presents information very, very quickly. So the first thing that I like to do when I am looking for information or I'm looking for a root cause from my system and it's not coming forward is I tap on the idea, I'm okay with the idea of the information not coming forward right now, and I trust the system that when it comes forward, it will be the good and proper time. So let me know if you have any questions about point zero and point one, tapping for the idea that there might not be any information or a root cause, and giving ourselves permission to know that it's okay not to do that. So the second thing I like to do, and on first blush, it might not feel like this is something that's going to work on your own. And as I was thinking through what I did with my clients and trying to transfer this over to tools that we could use on our own, I had the same question. So over the course of the last couple of days, I've been trying this little technique on myself to see if it worked for me. And I was actually surprised at how well it did. It's a phrase that I learned from my hypnosis training. And the phrase is this, you know, so we're going to ask the system a question. We're going to ask it for some information. And we start out with the phrase, I know you don't know the answer to this question, but if you did know the answer to this question, where did this start? And the question that we were looking for is, where does this start? And it seems really silly to say, I know you don't know the answer to this question, but if you did know the answer to the question, what is it? For whatever reason, that phrase puts us at ease because we're admitting to the fact that we don't know the answer to the question. And so we don't have to worry about whether or not we're going to be right or wrong. And so by putting in it that way, it gives us the opportunity to bring forward information that we might not be super, super, super confident in. But by creating that space and allowing it to come in that way, what it's done is it's given the subconscious mind the opportunity to present a possibility, opposed to feeling like it has to be right. And like I said, even knowing the trick and even knowing why it works, I have found this to be very successful when asking myself questions for information that I can't get myself. So again, the phrase is really simple. I know you don't know the answer to this question, but if you did know the answer to this question, what would it be? What is whatever the question is? Stick it in that spot. And it'll put you in a circumstance where surprising pieces of information will come forward. The third thing that I like to do, and I actually talked about this in one of the tools on the site earlier in the year, but I just wanted to make sure it wasn't missed because it's really, really valuable. And it's one of the first things that I picked up early on in my training. And it's something that I use even when I'm not tapping. So whenever I'm struggling with something and I'm really focusing in on it, I ask myself the question, if there was one person you were in relationship that related to this, who would you not want to ever have in your life ever again? Or who would you wish never was in your life? An alternate version of that is, in relation to the problem that we have at hand, what's the one thing that happened in the past that you wish never happened? And we push it out to that extreme, to the person that we never wanted to meet, or the experience we never wanted to have, what we're doing is we're giving ourselves permission to really point to a place or a relationship that has a great deal of pain around it. And by asking it in those terms and pushing it all the way to the outside, what it does is it brings forward some really fascinating information. The most amazing thing about those questions is when I have asked them of clients, there is no hesitation. It's not like, well, these are the top three and this is the one that I'm really going to pick. It's if there's multiple answers, they say all of them. It's, you know, George, Betty, and Jim. Or it's this experience and this experience. But even if it's one piece of information or it's multiple pieces of information, the fact that it is coming forward in that way so quickly in such sharp succession, it gives us some really important information. Anytime an answer comes quickly and there isn't a great deal of thought to it, especially if it's an answer that my clients find surprising, I find that to be a really good, useful piece of information, especially if it isn't something that they've brought up before. So a great way to uncover what's going on is to ask, who do you wish you never met related to this? Or who do you wish was never in your life related to this? Or what's the one thing related to this you wish never happened? And when that shows up, then you can use lots of techniques to go after that. So just as a quick review, and again, if you have any questions, press star 2, or just type a little question in the chat box for me. We begin by tapping on the idea that there might not be a root cause, and to be okay with the fact that if there is a root cause, we'll never know it. The first thing that we do when we're trying to gather information and we can't seem to get it to come forward is to tap on the idea that it's okay not to know right now, and whenever the information comes forward, that's great. That will calm us down, and it will create space for information to come forward. And then that third point that we just talked about, asking those questions. And I'm just going to bop over here real quick, check the chat area. Great, perfect, no questions. Now, the fourth thing, and of the five that I'm going to share, this is, in comparison to how easy it is to use and how powerful it is, this is the one that I reach to first, because it's so simple and because it's so powerful. And if you've poked around the site at all and you've spent some time in the unstuck area, you've bumped into versions of this. So I'm trying to change something, you know, and it could be I'm trying to change so I take a particular action, or I'm trying to change so I stop a particular action, or I'm trying to change where I'm trying to let go of a worldview. So I'll give some examples. You know, I'm trying to change so that I exercise 3 times a week. Or I'm trying to change where I'm trying to stop eating ice cream every single night when I get home from work. Or I'm trying to change so that I can actually see myself with love and affection. So this applies for all of those things. So we name the state that we're in. I'm not exercising. We name the state we want to be in. I'm exercising. And we simply ask ourselves, what's the penalty? Or what could go wrong if I actually did this? And it was interesting. I was tapping with someone today around exercising, and it came forward that there was two things. One, she didn't like to be really sweaty and gross, and that's what working out did. And two, it felt like it was a giant waste of time. So, because she had so many things to do, her aversion to exercise had nothing to do with her being healthy. It had nothing to do with the pain of working out. It simply had to do with it was a giant time suck. That in her mind, it was 45 minutes three times a week, plus the time it took her to clean up because she was so gross after the fact, that there was no possible way for her to do it. You know, the same type thing, you know, ice cream. You know, what's the worst thing that happens if I don't eat ice cream when I get home from work? I'm going to feel really lousy. I'm going to feel like I'm not rewarded for working so hard, whatever it is. But when we ask that question, what it does is it brings forward the pieces of information that are there. And it's interesting when I'm asking this question of clients, you know, what would go wrong if you changed this thing? That oftentimes the first thing that they'll do is they'll laugh. Because they recognize the thing that they're afraid of is really, really absurd. You know, if I get good at speaking on stage, then people are always going to expect me to speak on stage. And like I said, if you go to the Get Unstuck section on the website, you're going to notice a lot of the questions point to what could go wrong if I did this. And there's a whole bunch of different flavors and varieties of that question. And that's because it's just so powerful. It does a really good job of pointing to what we are actually afraid of in having this sort of transformation. Excuse me. So, number five. This is one that I use a lot. It's a little more complicated, and I saved it for the end because that's the case. I find it really, really effective to get away from the conscious mind. And you'll notice a number of the things that we've done up to this point. You know, for example, I know you don't know the answer to this, but if you did, that's a distraction of the conscious mind because the conscious mind wants to get the answer right or being okay with not knowing it. And so oftentimes I have clients who show up and they show up in a circumstance where they are convinced they know the reason why they are the way that they are. You know, I have this issue because this happened to me. I have this issue because that's what happens in my family. And sometimes they're right. And sometimes they have told that story for so long that they believe it to be true and they act as if it's true, even though it has nothing to do with what is true. You know, it's kind of like when we make scientific discoveries. We believe a certain thing and we tell that same story over and over and over again. And it takes something really radical for us to shift our point of view. You know, the world going from flat to round. It was a story that we told over and over again. And even as science was progressing and more information was coming forward, people were not changing their mind. They were staying stuck in the place that they were. And so the conscious mind is a really powerful tool and it's useful. And the reason why we're tapping is because we've made conscious choices to be here. But it's also something that can really get in our way. And so when working towards root causes, I think it's really powerful if we can do things to get away from it. And the simplest and easiest way that I have found is just through a simple little parts technique. And when I say parts technique, I'm not talking about like distinct personality parts here. I'm talking about lowercase p part. And just being able to deal with our personality in different chunks, which allow us to disassociate. So if you'd like to try this, just to get a little example of what it is, and to get some information, just go right ahead as I walk through it. So what I want you to do is I want you to think about some issue that you have in your life, something that you'd like to change, or an emotion that's going on, or whatever it is. And I just want you to think of something that you would normally sit down to tap through. So the first thing that we do, and if you'd like to just tap on the collarbone while you're doing this to stay tuned in, that'd be perfect. So I just want you to tune into that thing. Okay? So first step is just tune into the issue at hand. Step two is I want you to tune in and I just want you to see where you are experiencing it. Now, you might experience it as butterflies in the stomach. You know, it might feel like a wall that's in front of you. It's a heaviness of a sadness that's in your shoulders. It's a tightness in the throat. It could be a chattering little voice in your head telling you why this is going to go wrong no matter what you try. So figure out how that experience is landing in your body. And it might not land in your body. It might actually be a wall in front of you, a barrier around you, something hanging upon you, shackles at your ankles. So step one, tune in. Step two, figure out where it is. Step three is to approach that thing, that feeling in the stomach, the tightness in the chest, the heaviness, the chattery voice, and ask it what it is struggling with or what could go wrong. Why does it exist? How is it trying to keep you safe? And when we ask it that question, all of a sudden information starts coming forward. You know, if I do this, I'm afraid that I'm going to die. And I actually had a client say that to me yesterday. We were tapping on just a fear of public speaking. And the public speaking fear was just a real tightness in their solar plexus. And so the question was, you know, so what's it worried about? I'm going to die. Okay, great. So once we know what it's worried about, the next question is, what proof does this sensation have that this is a possibility or a probability? Now, one or two things are going to happen here. One is a really specific piece of information is going to come forward. When I was 5 years old, I was on stage and people laughed at me, so much so they laughed at me at recess and they chased me around and I was afraid for my life. There you go. Great root cause, really easy thing to take the movie technique to and tap for. The other possibility is no information is going to come forward at all. It doesn't have any proof. So if proof comes forward, that becomes the thing that we tap on. If no proof comes forward and the issue doesn't change, because sometimes when no proof comes forward, the issue recedes. But if no proof comes forward and the issue does not change, then what we do is we tap on whatever the worry was, you know. So it comes forward, it says, I'm afraid I'm going to die, and then it gives us this memory from when we were in fifth grade. That's a great thing to tap on. The other example is, I'm afraid I'm going to die, no proof comes forward. We then tap on that. And when we tap on that, we just reason with that part of our system where we state what we think, what the system believes, and what's really happening. And so it would just look like, there's a part of me that is afraid that if I speak in public, that I am going to die. And I recognize the fact that this is a completely irrational feeling. I'm really glad my system is trying to keep me safe. I'm really glad my system is looking out for danger, but I know that when I give the presentation at work, I am not going to die. No one is going to throw stones at me. No one is going to chase me out of town. It might not go perfectly, but I recognize the fact that I am not going to die. So, depending on our approach, we have the piece of proof that we tap on, or we have the lack of proof but the fear to tap on. So then what we do is we recursively repeat this process. We go back to the beginning and we tune back into whatever it is we're working on. Let's say it's fear of public speaking. We take a nice deep breath. We tune back into it. And then we figure out the part that's left, where is it now? Now, it might be in the exact same spot in the same way. It might be back tight in my solar plexus, or now it's tight in my throat. Regardless where it's landed, if it's landed in the same spot or if it's landed in a new spot, what we do is we go through the same process. We simply tune into it and we ask it, what could go wrong? What do you see as dangerous here? and we let the part bring forward information. And again, we ask, that's fabulous. What proof do you have that this is possible or probable? And in asking that question, again, we pay attention to the information. If it brings forward proof, that becomes the thing we tap on. If it doesn't bring forward proof, we tap on the fear. We work our way through that. We take a nice deep breath. We stretch a little. We might have a little sip of water. And then we repeat the process again until it's receded. And so it's just something that we do recursively over and over again. Because each time we do it, we might not find the root cause, but we're going to keep chipping away at the issue, and we're going to get closer and closer and closer. So, in review, six things we've gone over tonight. When we are going to tap for trying to find our way to the root cause, the first thing that we do is tap on being easy with ourselves, knowing that we don't have to find the root cause. That's okay. Healing is still possible. The five things that I like to do with my clients to help me find root causes is, one, whenever we're not finding information, tap on the fact that it's okay we don't have the information, and tap on the fact that whenever the system wants to bring forward the information, that is perfect and appropriate, and not be in a rush. We will feel better about the tapping process, and we won't feel stuck, and there's a great possibility the system's going to bring information forward. The second thing we can do when we're trying to find information is use the phrase, I know I don't know the answer to this, but if I did know the answer to this, what is the root cause of this? And just pay attention to the surprising information that comes forward. By giving ourselves space to know that we don't have to know the answer, guessing at an answer will provide some really valuable information. The third approach, asking ourselves the question, who do we wish was never in our life related to the issue, or what experience do we wish never happened related to the issue? That's going to give us really valuable information. And again, even if it's not the root cause, clearing the issues around and associated to that, it's going to make a huge difference. Number four, when we're looking at a transformation and we don't see transformation happening, we ask ourselves the question, what is the penalty or what could go wrong if I actually had this transformation? And that could be the transformation of letting go of a negative habit, or the transformation of having something positive come into our life. And by doing that, it's going to reveal some really interesting information. And then number five, going through the process of feeling the emotion, feeling how we experience it, either something inside of our body, outside of our body, or in our mind, asking the thing that we experience, what's it afraid of or what does see as dangerous? Asking that part, what proof does it have? And based on the information to that question, we tap for the information that's come forward. We recursively slip back to the stop. So if you're having a hard time trying to figure out how to approach and get into an issue, one of those five ways is going to give you a lot of help in doing just that. Remembering always that even if we don't get something immediately, it doesn't mean that we're not being successful. And it's okay if it takes time before we get our way through something. So, any questions about that? If you're over on the site, you can just type a question into the left, or you can press star 2 to raise your hand. Great. Doesn't look like there's any questions this evening. Again, as a reminder, next week we're going to have a tapping call and a Q&A call. If you've ever wanted to tap with someone and you haven't had an issue, haven't had a chance to tap with it, it's a great time that we'll be able to do it in a safe way where we'll do borrowing benefits and everybody will be able to benefit from the experience. If you have some specific tapping questions that you'd like to ask, that would be a great time to do it. The goal of the time next week is for you to clear some issues and feel healthier and for you to feel more comfortable and equipped with the tapping tools. As always, just drop me a note, gene@tappingqna.com. If you haven't had a chance to look on the site, I put up a post that has the dates of all the calls for this month, next month, and November. I'm going to do some tweaking over the weekend on the site so that you don't actually have to open up a post. But when you go to the call archives, it will be right at the top and it'll list a calendar. So everything that's there, I just need to do one more thing to make that go live and to make sure that works. as always, you know, just let me know what I can do for you. GeneTappingQ&A.com. Thanks for spending a little time with me tonight, and I will talk to you real soon. Good night.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.